Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Welcome to Cape Fear Seniors. I'm Tom Petcher, your host, and our first guest today is Ashley Miller, Director of Corporate Relations with the American Heart Association. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. The American Heart Association has been part of the fabric of American society for as long as most of us can remember. Tell us just generally about the American Heart Association origin, the kind of research you do, activities, events, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. The American Heart Association was first came into concept in 1924 by six cardiologists that got together and decided that they needed to do something to create some research funds and just get awareness out for heart attacks and also strokes. Heart disease is the number one killer in our nation of both men and women. So at the American Heart Association, our overall mission is just to get Americans to build healthier lives free of cardiovascular disease and stroke. With our research dollars that we create, that we go out through donations and we fundraise and research projects, you know, creating awareness in our community is one of our number one efforts.
And did you say 1926?
1924.
So
yes.
You are celebrating a 90th anniversary
this year. Absolutely.
Congratulations. As you said, heart disease is a leading cause of death and disability in this country. And a lot of heart disease shows up later in life. Not all of it. It's an equal opportunity offender.
Absolutely.
But it does show up with a lot of folks in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
It can.
What should older Americans know about heart disease, and how can they avoid becoming victims?
Number one, they need to know their numbers. They need to have a great relationship with their physicians, keep up with their numbers, with their blood pressures, their cholesterols, and their blood sugars, just to know how their body regulates. Many people can go around feeling healthy, and then one day, you know, cholesterol or plaque break up, and then, you know, you're going to have a heart attack from either a blood pressure break or just some sort of clog that through your arteries. So a great relationship with your physician, know your numbers, exercise 5 times a week, at least 30 minutes. You know, the best way to stay healthy is to stay fit. So that's something they need to know. And know your family history, to not only for your own health, but to share with your children and your grandchildren. So 20% of all heart attacks and strokes are caused by inherited family risk. So that's something you need to share with other generations of illnesses from your members of your family and your grandparents.
So simple communication within the family is paramount.
Absolutely. We have a great family tree resource on our website at www.heart.org, and you just fill in the blanks. And it's just like the regular old family tree we all have at home, but instead of people's names and birth dates, you just put in their illnesses and what they had wrong with them, and just keep it in a drawer and just share it.
The website, by the way, is really pretty robust. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but I want to get into that and some of the experience I've had checking out the website. So back in 24, these six docs got together?
They did.
And that was the beginning of the American Heart Association. And over time, as I said at the beginning, it's really become sort of iconic in American society and in American public
health. And a lot of seniors will remember it used to be called the Heart Fund. So it's the same
that
thing.
That goes way back.
The Heart Fund. So now we're the American Heart and American Stroke Association, and we're the largest volunteer nonprofit across America. We rely on our volunteers a lot for what we do, and we're one of the largest organizations.
So clearly, in the intervening 90 years, heart disease has become a real people know what it is these days. You guys have done an awesome job of educating the general public.
Well, not only educating, but one out of every three Americans is affected with some sort of cardiovascular illness.
Wow.
So, and it's now the number one killer in the world. So, you know, it's spreading out.
So it's more well known to the public, and obviously, the information is really, really important to have, and you've done a great job of getting it out. You really have. High blood pressure is one of the risk factors. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely.
Why is it so many people? We all know what BP is. I mean, you know, even the acronym everybody knows when you go to the doctor's office. They call it the silent killer. Is that right?
Right, because a lot of the symptoms of high blood pressure, you won't know till it's too late. So you could, you know, be walking around feeling fine, and then a couple seconds later, you're not. And it's just your blood pressure is just creating such a pressure inside your arteries, mm-hmm. and then you have a burst, and then it's too late to do anything about it.
So. Without getting too clinical, when you say you have a burst, what does that mean?
Well, just consider your pressure washing paint. So if you have a pressure washer on a wall against some paint, and you're just, as your arteries are flowing the blood, blood, you're just taking the paint off the wall. And then the higher your blood pressure, the more paint, and it's, so it's more pressure on your artery. So you never want to get to that point where you cause a burst. And that's what happens when you have your high blood pressure and it gets out of control.
I know that there are a lot of natural activities we can do to avoid high blood pressure, but have we found clinically that blood pressure medication has had an impact on?
It has had an impact. And I know that you need to discuss this with your physician, but with medications, and they are prescribing it more, and there are the pros and cons, but the number one takeaway you need to understand is you have to get your blood pressure under control. And a lot of people do this through weight loss, through exercise, and just living a healthy lifestyle. So, and also that's something you need to discuss with your doctor, but medication is a great resource.
It's made a big difference. What are the warning signs of heart attack? What should we be aware of? And I know that there's, and I'll just intro, there's the dramatic warning signs and the not so.
Just talk like about, Fred Sanford both. Did when he always got surprised. But it can be just an uneasy feeling, night sweats, not being able to sleep, out of breath, chest discomfort, jaw pain and back pain. One of the number one complaints in women is a nausea feeling and just fatigue. And face it, these days, who doesn't have those symptoms? Mm-hmm, so right. You really need to be aware if all of a sudden you're getting these on, and it can be an elephant sitting on our chest. It could be the numbness in both arms and not just, you know, your one left side, and just an overall feeling of not feeling good and fatigue.
And like you said, that generally happens to all of us at any given point in our lives. How do you avoid overreacting, or is there no such thing as overreacting?
There is no such thing as overreacting. And I think that people, especially women, feel embarrassed. And I was with a volunteer the other day that said that she got up and did her hair before she called 911, and she was having a STEMI full-blown heart attack. But, you know, we just have to know if we don't feel good, you have to do something about it, because when it's too late, it's just too late.
I have a very, very kind of, current example of that. I have a staff member in my business was on her way to a shift in a client's home yesterday, and the client called about half an hour in and said that the employee hadn't shown up yet. So I called, no answer on the cell phone, and we keep emergency information, contact information on all of our employees. So I went to the files, and I had my office manager call her daughter, who was listed as the emergency contact. It turns out that my employee was on her way into work, started feeling chest pains, drove into a fire station. Fire station got her to the hospital immediately. She was in there all day yesterday. She's still there today. The last I heard, they were going to check, do a CAT scan for a possible stroke. So she did the right thing.
She did the absolute right thing. And especially seniors who live alone, keep a phone number by your bedside and just do a buddy check with mm-hmm. each other. I know my girlfriends and I do that, you know, just amongst ourselves. If you haven't heard from someone in 24 hours, 48 hours, just call and check on somebody.
That's a great tip. Getting back to symptoms, anecdotally, I understand that oftentimes people who are going through a heart attack think it's a panic attack.
They can.
Another example of, you know, what can happen to people if they're under a lot of stress. Panic attacks are not that rare anymore, unfortunately, and it could be lethal to think panic attack.
Absolutely,
as opposed to
a heart attack. And it's just better to go ahead and get this checked out. And the quicker you go in with a heart attack symptom, and they do diagnose you with heart attack, the easier it is for them to go in and fix the problem and get you back on your feet. And I find that remarkable that I hear people going in for surgeries with their heart and they're back out of the hospital in 2 or 3 days yeah. and they're back at work. Right. And it's just amazing that just 2 or 3 days before their life was in grave danger.
Exactly right. Life Simple 7, talk about that.
Absolutely. Our Life Simple 7 is a great program that we have, and it's just 7 simple things that we can teach you to have a healthier lifestyle. And these are all common sense things that we all should know and that we know to do, but we maybe not. And I'll guarantee you that a lot of your listeners probably take better care of their automobiles and their air filters in their homes than they do themselves.
Undoubtedly.
So you're on a regular basis. So we want you to do that with our Life Simple 7. It's just don't smoke. We all know that. Keep a healthy weight. You know, find out what your weight is with your physician. Eat healthy food and just make sure you monitor everything in your diet. And it's okay to cheat, but just do it in moderation. Exercise 5 times a week for 30 minutes. And then know your numbers, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and your blood sugars.
Exercise.
Absolutely.
Some people tend to avoid it. A lot of people tend to avoid it. And 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week – can seem to some people an awful lot.
You can break that up into two 15-minute sessions. Mm-hmm. Just do a brisk walk, you know, make a route in your neighborhood, go to the mall early in the morning and become a mall walker. I mean, there's just things you can do. If you have a dog, your dog will appreciate your newfoundness for exercise and go on a walk. So just brisk walking is enough. Even sitting in your chair and doing arm movements, you just want to have some sort of physical activity.
And walking and chair exercise is especially specific to older Americans.
Absolutely.
And does the website offer any kind of suggestions on
this? Yes, we have a whole section on exercise and things you can do. And I know a lot of seniors out there dance. Dancing is a great way of exercise. It's not just entertainment.
Exactly,
it is exercise.
Right. Let's talk about stroke a little bit. Stroke awareness. What's the American Heart Association? First of all, the American Heart Association is separate from the... Is there an American Stroke Association?
We're the same. We're actually
Oh, you
the
are
same
the same.
Thing.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Because they both deal with your cardiovascular
Right, and
system.
They're both related. And when I was young, I know more now because I'm a bit older and I've done some studying on cardiovascular disease. But back in the day, I didn't make a connection, and I think a lot of younger people don't, between stroke and heart disease.
Well, stroke is a loss of blood flow to the brain.
Exactly.
And then a heart attack is a loss of right. blood flow to the heart.
So. Exactly. So let's talk about stroke awareness.
Absolutely.
What's going on inside the AHA?
Well, we're teaching our new FAST program, so you'll see billboards around town.
I'm sorry, what program is that?
FAST.
FAST, like in quick.
FAST. So we have an infomercial, PSA on the radio, on the TV now. So when you think of stroke, you want to look for the signs. So it's FAST. So if you think someone is disoriented and you're worried they might be having a stroke, ask them to make a facial movement. Mm-hmm. If they can't, or one side of their face droops, ask them to lift their arms above their head. Make sure that both sides go up equally. Ask them to say their name. You know, ask them to speak to you. And if any of these have complications, T is for time. So call 911 quickly, because you have about 90 minutes to get to the hospital to dissipate that blood clot to make sure the flow goes back normally before you start to have some sort of damage to your body.
I want to say out loud that I think the AHA is doing a terrific job with that campaign. FAST is easy to remember. And those symptoms are what really show up when you, and what people are now realizing is that 90-minute window. After the 90 minutes, it's basically...
And that's where disability can set in. So right. while more people are surviving strokes and it's gone down to the number 4 killer in our nation, it's leaving you more disabled than any other disease out there.
So this is really important. If you can, the earlier you catch it, the less likely you're going to have those debilitating, what we consider the offshoots of a stroke attack, of a stroke. That is, paralysis, maybe
Correct.
Partial paralysis.
Correct.
In the face or anywhere exactly. Speech difficulty. It doesn't have to land there, is what
it
you're saying.
It does not. So the quicker you get to the hospital and the quicker you can correct the problem. I have a very close family member that had a stroke mm-hmm. in his 30s and just happened to be get to the hospital quickly, recognized the signs, and took a little bit of rehab, but back to normal today and now takes great care of his health.
That's great. I'm going to hop over to the website again. I did a little exploration while I was doing research before the show. And I was really, really struck positively by the Interactive Cardiovascular Library. I'm going to let you do most of the talking about it. I would like you to get into some detail. But for our listeners, essentially, it's a series of YouTube-type videos using animation that go through probably 15 or 18 elements of the cardiovascular system and helps explain exactly what's going on inside your body, which is pretty remarkable. But you do a great job, especially with the animations, of showing both what happens when you're functioning normally, but also when you're in any kind of cardiovascular danger, and then what the treatments are like. Speak about that a little bit.
Well, I think it's interesting to go over these videos. When you go to our website, you know, you can put any type of subject in our box and come up with all types of articles and answers and the films and the short animations. But it's just a great way for you to see of what's going on in your body when you maybe don't feel anything. So sometimes when we think we don't feel good, we're fine. So it's just an interesting way to explain. And especially if your doctor tells you you have something, and to come home and kind of look at it for yourself. Because a lot of times when we're in the doctor's office and he's speaking to us, we're trying to take in as much information as we can, but we don't leave with it all. So it's just a great way. And to share with family members and friends, and absolutely get a look.
I would really encourage our listeners to take a look at that, because it's. I just went through a couple of videos, but the stuff that you see and the things that you learn, it's pretty remarkable. And I think especially remarkable for older Americans who are generally speaking more at risk, and the more they can learn about taking care of themselves as they age, the better off they're going to be. But go to the website, and we'll talk about
it. Yeah, because as long as you have a strong, healthy heart, you know, it helps you fight off other illnesses too.
Precisely,
and helps
right.
you recuperate that
exactly,
much faster.
Right. One of the other things that you do at the American Heart Association is offer instruction in CPR and first aid. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, we have instructors that are certified to do so. So a lot of people call me toward the end of the year that are with nursing degrees or businesses, and then I relate to who these instructors are and give out phone numbers. But it's great for everyone to be certified in CPR. We also have a training that we work closely with New Hanover Regional Medical Center to go out into the community with the hands-only CPR.
Right.
So if you see one having someone having heart attack symptoms and know that you need to apply CPR, we're going with the hands only now. So you don't have to do the breaths anymore. So that doesn't maybe intimidate you
right.
on assisting someone, because studies show that only 25% of people that actually have some sort of cardiac signs actually get some sort of help. Call 911 and then put your hands in between the chest and push hard and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Also with 911 in the New Hanover Regional, they have places around town that have the defibrillators. So they can tell you where to get the closest defibrillator, you know, as soon as they can get to you, and you can also assist that person.
And remarkably, and I think this is all due to the AHA, there's a school, a high school out west, that's now requiring, it's before graduation, their students learn, take first aid and CPR.
The whole state of North Carolina now requires.
Oh, so North Carolina. I thought it was further out west.
No, we have 11 states
that's
that are on. Now South Carolina just passed it,
that's
and all
cool.
high school students have to learn at least hands-only CPR and first aid before graduation.
Very, very cool. Volunteers play a huge role with the American Heart Heart Association. And today we have with us our second guest, Renee Jones, who's a volunteer with the American Heart Association. Renee, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's talk about your experience. I want to talk about what you accomplished as a volunteer for the American Heart Association. But let's talk about your experience with the American Heart Association, how it began, how it's evolved, where you are now.
It's very interesting, Tom. For a majority of my life, I've been involved with the veterans organizations, specifically disabled veterans. I've done that for a very long time. I'm only 21, but I've done it for almost 25 years.
Right.
I moved to Wilmington a little over 10 years ago, and I found that my interaction with the veterans organization was always on the state level or the national level, and I wanted to do something within the community. And about 5 years ago, I got involved with the American Heart Association, specifically the Cape Fear Heart Walk. Actually, I think I started with the Heart Ball.
Yes, you did.
And then moved over from there to the Heart Walk, and that's where I am today. That's what I enjoy doing. Initially, I started out putting together a team for I was the team captain for my husband's office. And the following year, I decided, all right, I'll do a little fundraising. And the next year, I did fundraising and a team. And now I've been recruited to be a part of the executive leadership team, which means I need to get all of my friends and family involved,
right.
not only in putting together a team, but also becoming sponsors locally.
The walk itself, you were touted as the top walker in the 2013 walk. What does that mean exactly?
That means I raise more money than anyone else.
Good
in
for
this,
you. Not
in
that
this
you
area.
Walk longer necessarily.
Correct.
How much did you raise?
$4,600
and some.
And $15, I think. and some change.
Congratulations. And I want to, people should not be kind of put off by that. I'm assuming, Ashley, that anything that is raised by someone.
Every dollar counts.
Because in the beginning, you know, you might bring in $150 or something with the
Correct.
Team. But then if you stay with it, it grows over time, and that's been your experience.
Correct.
It's great. What's going on in 2014 with the walk? And tell me what the walk is.
The walk is on October 18th. It's going to be on the campus of UNCW. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. We have a program, tent set up, family activities. The DJs from Cumulus and Francis Weller from WECT are our MCs. And then the walk starts at 10, which is led by our Red Cap survivors. So anyone that's had a heart attack or stroke gets a red baseball cap. And every year we have a different signia pin that they put on their cap. And then they lead our walk, and it's a 3-mile walk around the campus, and then we come back for a little celebratory snack. So.
And you're walking in 14 as well, Renee.
Correct.
How many people will be there with you walking, do you know?
Last year, was it 3,000?
About 2,000.
Okay.
This year
our goal is 3,000. That's it.
Is that the biggest walk in town?
It's one of the largest.
That's great.
Absolutely.
How long has it been going on?
The Heart Walk here in Wilmington on and off has been going on for about 26 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Great track record. I'm going to switch over to Renee again because you're the one who has the experience as a walker. How does one go about becoming a walker? There's obviously, go to the website, but there must be a registration process we can talk about with
you. You can sign up online to become a team captain. You can start your own team or you can join someone else's team. Mm-hmm. It's very easy.
That's pretty much it.
And then you show up on the 18th with yourself or your team members. And pretty much that's what I would encourage people. You know, when I first started, it was just me. And mm-hmm. then the next year I asked a couple other people to get involved, and then it became a team sport.
How much does the Heart Walk raise?
Actually? We raise about $200,000.
Per year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In this area. And, you know, some people, we like to push the fundraising part on the internet, but if you just want to come out and walk and you don't use the internet, call me. I'll send you a little collection envelope, but there's no registration fee to participate. So if you even just want to come out and celebrate or walk in honor of a loved one or yourself, you're more than welcome to do so.
If you're shy about fundraising, can you still walk?
Absolutely.
And so the bodies, having the bodies there helps a lot as well.
Correct. And you can bring your pets.
For
it's
objects.
A pet-friendly
oh, really?
Walk.
Good optics. So the walk is this fall. Give us the date again.
October 18th.
October 18th. And let me just kind of wrap things up and move from fundraising. Fundraising is done for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And the purpose, as we all know, is to continue doing research.
Absolutely.
Into heart disease. Talk about the kind of research that's done, just so people have an awareness of where the money goes.
Well, last year alone, we did over 900 research grants, and we actually were number one in researching right behind the federal government with what they do with cardiovascular disease. Last year, North Carolina alone, we did over $3.65 million in research grants, and they go to people at East Carolina, Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, Bowman Gray, and different research facilities.
But it's all research here in North Carolina.
Yes.
That's great.
And actually, for every dollar we make here in North Carolina, $1.10 comes back to our state that we have so many grants here.
That's great. So we'll just wind up. I want to reiterate one more time because I can't do it often enough. The website is very, very robust, as I said. It's got some great stuff on it. I urge our listeners to explore it. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to become very, very much more aware of both the dangers of heart disease, but also how to avoid it. I want to thank our guests today, Ashley Miller from the American Heart Association and one of her top volunteers, Renee Jones. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for
thank
having
you.
Us.